Hi, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Gary, welcome to my carnival of Harlequin mysteries.
What voice is that? from context clues and what you're saying, I can try to see what you're going
for.
Yeah,
no, it's real. It's real mess. It's real messed up. I'm trying not to wake up my downstairs neighbor,
okay.
who happens to be below this playground of horrors.
Oh, okay, and novels.
It's like a little bit of a it's like a little bit of a Sprockets kind of deal. I don't feel great. I don't feel great about the presentation that I gave you, but Gary, we're here. We're on the midway in the snack bar of mystery.
I'll eat some
snacks. Yeah. So you know how cotton candy works. You got these little threads that amass to a hole. It is delightfully entropic and chaotic. I'm just going to, normally we pull this out when it's like a nice big puff, right? Mm-hmm. But no, we're just going to let this go until it forms something. Let's just ride this train.
I know this is a randomization, but it did make me think of what would happen if we just let a cotton candy machine go for, like, forever.
Well, no, like, it made me think of what would happen if you tried to dispose of a body.
In a cotton candy machine?
In a cotton candy machine, but also, like a haunted one that would make somebody into a sugar monster.
Into Sugar Man!
From
each of a body.
I'm the ice cream man, baby, I got what you need.
Yeah. I have blood sugar. I feel like it would create an amber, like blood lice. But let's
no,
go.
No, I mean, like,
here.
No, it's been happening here. So let's just let's pull this out.
Yep.
It looks like it's got a vest, long hair. Is that a feather?
There's a Brazilian nut hanging from its lapel.
A Brazilian nut. I'm very happy you didn't say the phrase that my grandma uses for that particular.
Oh, okay. I'm not a dump dinner slinging.
Yeah, no.
Southern chef.
Brazil nuts have a very racially charged.
Oh, no, that's what I'm
alternative.
Saying. Like, I was trying to make a Paula Deen.
Oh, there we go.
Because that's what he's into that specific word. Just
cool. I can just
now that he's elected. Finally, we can say it.
Let me let the steam out from under my collar. Woo.
Yeah,
oh, these are tough times. These are tough times. Yeah, no.
I can't believe I finally get to come out of the closet.
Let me dig in this guy's chest here and see what's up. Oh, Gary, okay. That's a copy of the Sega Channel cart. Let me plug this in. Oh, Gary, it's Nightmare Circus.
This is real bad, Ross.
Ooh,
this is a real fuck.
Gary, what did I do to you?
What did you do to me?
Gary,
what
did I do to you?
Let's stop that. It's a fun voice, but let's not go into gay panic mode.
No, I wasn't going gay panic. I was just going like straight up like creepy. What?
Gay ASMR. Gay ASMR? Just go straight into gay ASMR.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, what's your name?
Gary. A real fuck.
You're Gary Slater. My name is Cole Slater.
Cole Slater. And now it's Now and Slater with Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes we pick them ourselves.
Sometimes we pick them ourselves. So, Gary, I had a little bit of trouble here. I didn't want to go completely predictable. I had known about Nightmare Circus as this strange oddity that was a result of the Genesis living for far longer in South America than it did in North America.
It ever should have.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Not tons of classics aren't coming from that era of Genesis.
No, definitely not in 1996, which is well into the 32-bit era.
Yeah.
But this was it was like on Sega Channel for like a month, and now it lives on forever in repro carts. But this is Nightmare Circus, a game developed by Funcom, which is an actual ass developer that made this piece of utter horse garbage
and made The Longest Journey.
Yeah.
It's extremely bad.
Yep.
Like this is a real bad game, Cole. This is on the bottom, things we've done. Like,
it is one of the least playable pieces of garbage we've ever covered.
X-Men NES, I think, is like the floor that I tend to.
It's a pretty good floor.
Pretty close to the floor. This is, maybe not X-Men NES bad.
Right.
But this is a very extremely bad game. For any for something that stars Lorenzo Lamas, it is one of the worst games that I have played that stars Lorenzo Lamas. Of Renegade.
Yes, I was going to ask, what has Lorenzo Lamas been in? Because that's one of those names I recognize. It's kind of like Eric Estrada or something like that. Like,
oh, sure.
Chips and C-Lab.
He's significantly lesser than Eric Estrada. Like, Lorenzo Lamas is like, Chips. People know about Chips.
Right, right.
Renegade was like the thing that played. It was like second fiddle to the Highlander series.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's like if you didn't feel like getting up after you watched Highlander because you watched Highland.
Oh, he played Hector Ramirez on the soap opera The Bold and Beautiful, the Distinguished Competition. As what they were. I'm more of an As the World Turns kind of guy.
Okay. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Generally, I'm down for some Lorenzo Lamas. Like that. Yeah. The opening to that. There was a game for Renegade. We have to do it. Where like, cause just like they killed his family. He went bad. But sometimes when people go bad, they go good. And it just kind of, like the if I remember the opening goes on for that for longer than you would want or expect.
Lorenzo Lamas was in a movie in 1993, an action adventure film called CIA 2 Target Alexa. No, Alexa, shut up. Shut up. I don't want you. Stop. Alexa, stop.
That's what you get, buddy. I'm just like, it's,
no, that was a joke. I was, okay. It didn't actually trigger.
Okay.
I wasn't opening myself up to legitimate criticism. But
I didn't know there was a CIA 2.
Well, no, I love CIA 1.
It does good work. FBI 3, they're killing it.
Ooh, man, Coast Guard 7. That was where it really peaked. They had been in the doldrums for a while.
IR, the IRS prequel. Lorenzo Lamas. Nightmare Circus. this game is extremely bad, and it's really weird to think that like there being that demand for Genesis games and then this coming out of it and somebody like buying it. Mm-hmm. You know, like somebody played this. Like I couldn't find very much on it.
No, there's no GameFAQs presence on it. Like it's mostly oddities articles that were written. Like it's not quite to the Hardcore Gaming 101 level. Like there's just something about Tectoy, which is the publisher for this. Like, and that was like they acquired the rights after there was just like nothing left on the Genesis.
Yeah.
But like there are just a couple of like oddity reviews online. There's nothing about it.
The Nightmare Circus story plot starts with a circus that was held in the Arizona desert. On opening night, the circus was set ablaze and burned completely to the ground by its shady and villainous operator, the Jester.
The Jester. You know, I would not sign a lot of contracts with the Jester.
No. I think so, yeah. He's going to betray Drake in Shadowrun SNES game. Like, I have no interest in the Jester. It's very weird that was the guy who operates it is the Jester.
Yeah.
Who burns down like a populated ass circus for insurance money. And then this guy, this Native American named Raven, returns to the site of it to fight. There appears a ghost by Psy Energy, and Psy Energy has a wiki notation link.
Yep. Boy, that's a whole magic gaming. Magic or mana is an attribute. Yeah, no, it is just a link to the idea of magic in games.
But that's not how it's used in this.
Not at all. Like it is just what lets him fight spirits to again go after his ancestors who died in this horrible circus fire.
And the spirits are angry.
Yeah. No.
And you've angered the spirits.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, I was going to ask you that question, but
yeah, it is. I do not like playing as Native American stereotypes. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Before.
But yeah. It's big.
This is a frustrating thing. Like it is just like Raven. Come on.
Raven.
But this game is unplayable. As far as like, do you know how to do anything in it other than like crouch around and headbutt like helicopters and stuff?
No. And the frustrating thing is I'm watching a let's play of this or a long play and they're doing all kinds of crazy shit. They're like grabbing onto overhead ropes and like kicking from it and doing these huge flips and stuff. Like this is a brawler that has fighting game ass controls in that they have facing, and facing really matters. And also, weirdly, like your position of standing or crouching is oddly modal. As in, like, it is incredibly easy to just accidentally crouch, and then all of a sudden, you are open to all kinds of attacks.
You toggle rather than hold.
Right.
Crouch. You also press up to jump. which, you know, not, well,
it's not just
necessary.
Up, because you're like, you'll just press straight up and all you'll do is like a weird little guard thing you have to do up and, you know, up and in a direction.
Yeah. Because straight up will sometimes make the world like kind of spin or make you go into the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's very confusing. Like,
well, it's also, it's compounded by the fact that this game requires a 6-button controller.
Okay. Cause I didn't play it with a 6-button controller.
Yeah.
So I did not make very much progress in this game and I tried.
Yeah, I tried too. Like, it doesn't help that, like, it gives you, hey, here are 5 stages you can go, and they're all fun and carnival themed. Like, and oh, you're just not. They're not fun. Yeah. Like, the theming is fun. Like, I'll fight somebody in a hall of mirrors or something like that.
And serious, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But no, like, you're just not going to be able to kill anybody. I didn't kill a single enemy in this.
Oh, you can. I could kill guys. Yeah. Like, I ducked down and headbutted some fools.
Yeah.
Until they disappeared. But then they would just respawn. Like, I kept feeling like there was a puzzle or something I was not solving.
Yeah.
That would have actually moved the game along.
Well, the puzzle might just be that, like, there's no indication you can walk off screen or climb up a ladder, that some foreground element will be something you can climb. But, well, there it is.
Even when I pressed up on a ladder, it often did not behave as do ladders do.
Yeah, you would not latch on.
No. Like, my little raven was not, you know, doing what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And so I played 3 levels. I didn't know there were 5. I only could get to 3. How weird is the stage select for this, where you, like, to walk across a thing, you go all the way into the background and then into the foreground?
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. Like, you start off way in the background as a little tiny sprite, kind of like Monkey Island or something. Like, you're in, you know, those kind of zoomed out town levels.
Yeah, Monkey Island is a very apt comparison because everything in this is about the animation.
Yes. And so you press, you know, right or left, and you go to the merry-go-round or the Ferris wheel or whatever, you walk over to that. But then if you press left to go to the bumper cars or the roller coaster, you go all the way into the background, all the way into the foreground. There's nothing between you. You're not avoiding anything.
Right.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's like a map select that says, hey, we figured out scaling on the Genesis.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot what it seems like. It's like a impressive tech thing that is not, you know, neither impressive nor tech. And then, so I played 3 levels. The maze level, the House of Mirrors, like maze one, is the
which,
most coherent.
Which is just a forest of illusion ass level.
Yes. Yeah. I think that is what's going on. And I could not make any progress in it. I couldn't go up ladders. I didn't know what let me go through doors. It was inconsistent.
Yeah.
But it was the most coherent of the levels. One of them, the Ferris wheel one, you just fall in a fire and die immediately. Yep.
You have to figure out how to get on the Ferris wheel that is rotating upward so you can get off of the Ferris wheel and or just kill enough enemies to be allowed to progress. I'm not exactly sure. This is not a game that is good about signaling what the actual path forward is.
No, not remotely. So you just, and you don't land in it. You don't start the level in a safe zone.
No,
it's like a shitty game maker game. Like you just fall like immediately into a burning pit. I just kept jumping, trying to get out of it until I died.
Like, well, no, you just have to get good and figure it out. Like, yeah, what kind of gamer are you?
And then the 3rd level, the roller coaster level, where there were just, this is the one where there were dudes.
Yeah.
And a roller coaster just went back and forth, and I could hit these levers, but it never did anything. And then the roller coaster just ran over me until I died.
And also the dudes are always just slightly above or below you, and your character can never quite hit them.
But when you get down on your hands and knees and attack with a headbutt, like, it is almost a redemption thing. Like, did you figure that out?
Well, yeah, just kind of like, funny. Oh, you know, hey, let me take care of that boner for you here. I've got my mouth open.
do you want to hear a pretty gross, dirty joke?
Ooh, okay, yeah, I'm down.
This reminds you of that. I mean, you're gonna know what the punchline is because we just.
Well, I mean, yeah, what it sprung from, yeah.
If you ever want to make Uncle laugh,
I mean,
if you're listening to this, you ever want to make Uncle laugh.
I'm watching this long play. Like, this guy is, this Native American character is using Splinter Cell. Like, I my hands are on one wall and my feet are on the other, and I'm shimmying upwards. The animation, this is fucking crazy. I have no idea what the combination of buttons are. I'm sorry, I needed to cut that.
It's like,
to cut in with that.
Like, you have to quap your way up. Yeah.
Using 6 buttons on a Genesis controller. Tell me a joke about sucking D, man.
Oh, how do you get a dog to stop humping your leg? You pick him up and suck his dick. Yeah.
That's not like a joke. That's like a barely dead baby.
Well, it's no, I don't know if it's barely dead baby. Whoa. It's an uncle joke.
It's an uncle joke, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. It's not a classic like the, you know, the Superman comes down and tries to fuck Wonder Woman, but actually he fucks the Invisible Man in the ass because, you know, she was having an affair.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like that, I guess that is a classic. Like that. So
I've definitely outclassed Superman, you, my
Superman
friend.
Sexually assault the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Classic.
My dad told me that joke when I was like 9 years old.
I heard that joke too early too, and it's like
I have no idea. Like, wait a minute, what's a penis and what's a butt?
Well, like, so dad. So, sucking a dog's dick could also be sexual assault to you. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a comfortable thing. Like, you wouldn't do it in front of your pastor.
No. I wouldn't do it in the privacy of my own zone. But anywho, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Right. Yeah,
it's something about that made me think about that. When I first read that recently, I'd never heard it before, and it was just like, I didn't expect that to go there.
It's a shock joke. It's like shock D. Yeah.
Yes. It was, and you know, I'm as one of the original shock jocks. I don't have this. I usually have these games playing in the background. I don't have it playing in the background because instead I'm playing HHN4's Jack's Nightmare Circus.
You share that video with me. I need you to give me any kind of context because I was writing the script for the most recent WAF sketch when you sent that. And I was like, boy, that's something, isn't it?
It just came up when I was searching for stuff about this game. Right. It's not related.
No, but it's related subject matter wise.
It's Universal Studios Orlando. It's this show that shows up in Universal Studios. This one's in Singapore, and it's Jack's Nightmare Circus. Who he is an orange haired, like kind of like sexy hobo clown, who does this like circus show. That's like a regular circus show, except it's the Nightmare Circus.
Okay,
and it's very strangely homoerotic. There's a lot of I'm about 15 minutes into that video now watching it, and it is just full like shirtless leather pants boys like running around.
It is very guar.
It's like sexy gay guar. Like I mean, you repeat yourself. Yeah, well, is it like or sexy no. Guar? Yes, but like guar is, are there demons?
Yeah,
there's not guar isn't sexy.
Demons aren't sexy. Oh, now he's prejudiced.
Well, yeah. don't be sex negative, SJW cuck. It's just weird that it's, and I'm not saying this as a negative thing, similar to what is it, the sexy gay guy shooter that we played.
Yeah,
like I don't find the homoeroticism of it bad. It is just kind of, I'm just not used to it, which says more about like
it's,
you know, socialization.
True. It's very weird. You don't associate clown makeup with man meat.
Yes.
Which is very
Chippendale's dancer, half sexy, dirty clown, like Marilyn Manson haunted clown thing that happens at Orlando Universal Studios.
Which is the part that I can't get used to. And I don't think I made enough of it. I don't feel like I made enough of a deal about that when you dropped it. So can you just say Orlando Studios again?
Orlando Studios? Universal Studios Orlando?
Yeah, that's ridiculous because I'm seeing some man-me here in torn pants and also some Rocky Horror-ass women walking around in very short skirts with clown makeup on. It is, like, I'm down. Like don't confuse me. Don't get me wrong here.
When it comes down to clown, cool is horny for clowns.
Right, and there's no other interpretation of that. Like, me endorsing this and saying, "Hey, this is pretty cool," because like there are people doing pratfalls because there is there's a jester dude like hitting people on the head with a cane.
It's gonna give you splat balls. Like,
right?
It's
I'm going to empty my tanks. To power this circuit onto the next town to spread my disease.
A carnival of sorts is pulling out.
Sorry, you got me. You got me on the carnival of sorts thing because I don't think about that song being about a carnival
or about pulling your dick out.
Yeah,
you have to masturbate to a haunted carnival.
Bob Carl's will yank my dick out and off my body. Oh no, where'd it go? He's just like slapping along the tracks.
Here's my weeping wheel. Weeping wheel. Yeah.
Reap this weeping wheel.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is definitely of the weird genre of like the sexy, sexy, scary clown. We're all freaks now in the dope show. kind of thing, you know. It is a genre.
Yeah,
like Jim Rose, you know, with his puppetry of the penis thing and all that stuff. And yeah, this is kind of the natural evolution of that.
Yeah, well, I mean plenty of people have cranked it unironically to Harley Quinn. Like it's
oh,
a
sure
thing. Yeah,
man, is that a thing? Again, that does not work for me. I don't. Did I tell you about the Juggalat that showed up in my OK Cupid searching?
No, you've passed along a couple of like tidbits about your OK Cupid, which just scared me off the idea of you know, dating forever.
Well, it's it doesn't. I didn't have to like go on a date with her. It wasn't like a
it wasn't a contract. You all.
I mean, like really, what I'm talking about is I'm telling you a story about looking at a picture. So right. the buy-in was pretty small.
Right. No, but tell me the story. I haven't heard this, but like, you know, there's a lot of people who are very upfront about what they want. Which is a good thing. Yes. Because
that's the thing is like if you are into that kind of like if you sexualize clowns,
yeah,
like,
if you're into clown play,
I would rather know before that.
Which is
know?
My like, all steam Calliope Coldplay cover band.
It was just real weird because you're scrolling through pictures of ladies,
yeah,
on the internet, and then all of a sudden there's a clown and you're like, okay, well
I mean I need to investigate further, but at a distance.
I don't pay for the upgrade that's like nobody can see you when you're clown scoping.
Okay,
you know, like people know when a clown scope, but the
wait a minute, so people know when you look like, hey, this person, yes, expressed interest but backed away, so this, yes, clown could technically pursue you.
It is possible I get strong clowned.
But I mean, you just get Buffo, like he's on retainer, right? Like what are these network payments? All of our Patreon money is going to keeping Buffo on retainer to stop this exact same thing from happening.
Alternatively, I take a huge gamble that she doesn't know about Buffo, steal all his pictures, make a fake account, and just be the fucking hunkiest man of her dreams that has ever been. I'll never do that. But just the idea.
You're great with kids.
Yeah,
you're great with kids, like, and dogs. Come on, you're a heartthrob.
Buffo's OK Cupid account is a very funny idea to me. But they looked at it, and it was just like, again, and this is good. It's good to be upfront about things you're into. But like, it was just so into like, just like, hey, I'm a crazy clown. Like, I'm a classic funny girl. Like, capitalized F G, looking for my clown prince. Like, it was just very, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very weird, and does not do anything for me. Like, is. There's a level, I will admit that the sexualization of clowns like is a repulsive thing to me.
Right.
Like
right.
It's fine. You know, like intellectually, I don't think it's immoral. I just, it gives me revulsion.
Well, it just doesn't work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it doesn't work for me. And it's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it feels importate. Like it feels kind of trashy to me.
It feels, I don't know. Like I was about to say it feels a little pathological, but that swings all the way around to Judgment Town, which I don't want to be like, it just like, I you know, despite my best intentions, I cannot help but diagnose a clown fetish.
It's, man, I'm sorry to get distracted, but on this show, these two people just did ice skating on a very small rink, which is kind of impressive.
Okay.
But then this little man, like shirtless man with a hospital mask, just crawled out and started like, is pretending to be a dog and started,
yeah,
dogging up on him. It's very strange.
Yeah. Well, I'm at a point where, where a bear dressed up in a leopard cape is chasing the women around with a chainsaw.
Okay.
Yeah. This is about like right around the 28 and 29 minute mark. And also one of the women has put a ball gag in the man's mouth. So this has taken a turn.
Yeah. Like, did you enjoy the Muppet? Like, the first thing that you did at Universal Studios?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's MGM. Come on.
Yeah. That's true. What is Universal Studios? Oh, Jaws. Yeah, you enjoy Jaws. The Jaws ride. Now here's Jaws. It's your sex clown. Your fucking sex clown.
You do Jaws and like Back to the Future, but I guess Back to the Future turned into Spider-Man, and then that turned into The Simpsons, and I don't know what it is now.
Yeah. What's this? It's Jack Nightmare Circus. Like,
it's a regression to the clown fetish.
Yeah, it all comes back to this. But yeah, very strange. Doesn't have that much to do with Nightmare Circus, but there's so little about Nightmare Circus.
There really is very little. Like,
it's very bad. I think we explained why it's bad, but like,
yeah, well, I mean, it controls like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it controls like a Nightmare Circus. Well, it is one of the worst things. Have you looked at the cover of it?
It's pretty good. Like,
it's a Wehrmacht tonight that he's fighting.
It's a what?
Like you know, Mac tonight.
Oh yeah. Oh, the moon man, the recently minted neo-Nazi symbol, the moon man.
Is
you know that thing, right? Yeah, Mac Tonight. Gary, Mac Tonight is now a neo-Nazi symbol. So it's not just Pepe the Frog. Mac Tonight, like, so neo-Nazis on the internet have taken to it. Okay, so Mac Tonight will burst into a room, and then all of a sudden they will overdub incredibly racist raps over top of it. Yeah, Mac Tonight is now the Moon Man, and the Moon Man is now worse. Not for long.
Oh my God, the Fry Guys. they're all gonna go.
I only know that because it was featured as one of those weird little dog whistles on Million Dollar Extreme.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, Mac Tonight is no longer safe.
Wow, I gotta stop making Mac Tonight jokes. Like someone's gonna put those parentheses around my name on Twitter. Yeah, Gary Butterfeld.
Just picture people like putting those parentheses around you like it's the fucking Iron Mask.
Yeah.
Like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Dang. You gotta be aware because fucking Nazis ruin everything.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Well, I pray they don't get a hold of whatever this creature is on the front of Nightmare Circus that's fighting our boy Raven.
Yeah, no, it is a Wehrmacht Tonight. It looks which is weird because I thought you were saying Wehrmacht Tonight.
Oh, cool. Would you like the Wehrmacht Tonight? We have much to discuss. Look at my Peppy Pen. Not my EpiPen.
No, no.
Epi the Frog is still a lovable mascot and one of Captain Novalin's crew.
Oh, God. Epi the... So Epi the Pen going through these platforming levels trying to get to somebody who's suffering in a flat click shock.
Yep. the thing about a Wehrmacht Tonight is that I would think that, like, Mac the Knight was already a were person.
Okay.
Like, you get a certain craving.
Well,
like,
I mean, he was bitten by an infected moon.
Yeah, at one point he was human. and then like a Sammy Davis Jr. influenced moon came and like, so yeah. Just certain times he turned into Mac Tonight.
It was one of the kids in the hall. Like you just had Bruce McCauley looking up, not being able to figure out how to properly soliloquize the moon. And then all of a sudden he's bit. He's Mac Tonight. And then all of a sudden he's bit by a radioactive Nazi and he becomes Moon Man.
And he goes, Moon Man, the Nightmare Circus, Wehrmacht the Night. Wehrmacht is the night. What does Wehrmacht mean? Like, am I saying something awful when I say that?
No, the Wehrmacht was the defense force. So, like, that was one of the armies.
So, like, defend the night or, like... Yeah, like Army the Night. Navy the Sky.
Yeah, like, it's the Night Army is what it is, yeah.
Sounds good, but I know it's got fascist overtones.
I mean, yeah.
It's a real shame that like so many innocent like things like that actual that the creator of Pepe's like heartfelt response to that is actually pretty heartbreaking.
Oh, just like the Pepe waking up from the nightmare of the all-consuming just kind of like flesh wall, like the oh John, what? I was so hungry thing. Yeah,
no, like he gave like an interview where he's just like,
oh
yeah,
shit,
I have nothing about this and I have no idea how this happened and I hate it and you know, this is not what I intended my like creation to become, like that's not him. And it's just like, well, yeah. Symbols have meaning, like that's fine for you, but it's, you know, it's the same reason why you don't put swastikas in things, no matter what it used to mean.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you don't put Pepe on things because it doesn't matter what it used to mean.
Yeah, like it's poisoned. Like, and Pepe was such a like, oh God, Boys Club is so good, but like it is completely ruined by everybody who's come along and used it for a different thing. No, what I'm referring to with like the crazy flesh Pepe thing, he did like a follow up on the Nib. That was kind of like the Goodnight to Pepe kind of thing, which is kind of like him waking up from this nightmare of, you know, Pepe turning into this horrible symbol, you know, of this eldritch abomination. And it's kind of like, okay, well, this is done.
That's unfortunate. I feel bad for that dude.
Yeah, Matt Fury is a fucking treasure, and it's just terrible that, you know, it's terrible.
That kind of thing could happen to anybody.
It could.
You know, that's like the sad thing about it. And it's like, there's, you know, you can, there's the right way to react. It's just like a, you know, say goodnight to your thing, you know, but it is, it's real shame that like just internet boys can just ruin whatever they want.
This will date us, but he did like, you know, somebody asked him on Tumblr, like, hey, what do you think of this whole, you know, Richard Spencer being punchable describing your creation? And he says, once isn't enough. Like, once is never enough.
Good. I mean we've gone through that.
Yeah, I mean like on a couple of different shows. Yeah, like we don't have to go too far into it. Magic Suffering is the predictable place for that to happen. But
it just goes to show that like that dude is, you know, had no intention and was not, you know, didn't set out to make a heat symbol.
Yeah, he's not complicit in it at all. And in fact, like his art is very good and, you know, belies this quirky joyfulness that like I am totally down with and have been for like weirdly enough 10 years now. So like Matt Fury's fucking great.
And it's a real shame that happened to him. Next, Raven gets co-opted by anti-Semite.
I mean, like, Raven's already this weirdly uncomfortable racial symbol, so
that's true. Raven is kind of like it's like that Saturday Night Live commercial where the house is already being robbed. You know, you know, there'd be no point. Who would shit on a flag made of shit? It'd be an empty gesture.
Oh man, yeah. So Nightmare Circus, it's real bad. There were two people who recommended this. This was Archive Lover and also Serg. Serg wrote, I feel like if you somehow don't know this one by now, then I cannot tell you what it is. You have to be shown for yourself. Like I was a paler Larry Fishburne in a trench coat.
Do you know that Serg went on Jeremy's show and they're going to release an episode where he likes Lords of the Fallen more than any Souls game?
Yeah, I need to listen to that so I can understand where he's coming from.
I like that dude. I feel like he's probably not
this show is kind of built on the back of Serg because he's given us plenty of recommendations.
Sure, Sam Bear, Serg, and Archive Lover.
Like Serg is an eye into like really really terrible PC kind of games. I saw that, and my goodwill for Serg is actually enough that I want to give him a shot on it, even though like on its surface I disagree with the premise.
Like I couldn't, you know, it disagree is like almost not strong enough a word. It's like one of those things that just sounds like oh, you know, like boy, I can't imagine an argument for that.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm very curious about that. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's, you know, a little plug for his episode of Don't Give Up Skeleton.
Oh, you mean Don't Give Up Skeleton, the Dark Souls community podcast that our friend Jeremy Greer does?
Yes.
Yeah. Or Monster of the Week, our friend Jeremy Greer and his podcast about the Supernatural series.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do mean either of those things.
Okay.
I'm glad he suggested it, but like, boy, that's a rough, it's a rough thing because, you know, somebody, you know, says it's like somebody, again, bring it back to dating, just because I've been doing lots of flipping through internet dating sites lately. Mm-hmm. You know, after going back home and after the snowstorm, like real life is kind of starting.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get back into that. So you look at a lot of people, like list of things people like.
Right.
And I don't really judge anybody based on what they like, but like something we talk about a lot on the show, and I think it's true, is like, well, taste is still a thing. Like class is a thing. There's something to it.
Yep.
So if somebody is like, you know, it says a lot if someone's like, oh, I love South Park, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm probably okay with that. It's dating like, that person.
I could probably hear more and like that would probably end up being okay.
It's not something I want to have as a start.
Right.
You know, like I have friends who like that show.
Yep.
But I was their friends, you know, already, and I'm not like going out of my way to like, you know, meet them, you know, so there's an opportunity cost and going on these things and a real cost and a time cost, these dates. I'm not going to base something that's, there's other factors too.
Yeah.
Line up to that thing, but there's certain like taste things where I'm just kind of like, I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like one of those things, like it's not as like morally tied up as South Park is, but there's an element of just kind of like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I
haven't heard that from literally anybody. So I'd be curious to see how that articulates.
That's because true. It is like a unique experience. Like weirdly enough, I think up until that, you and I are the most positive people about that game that have ever been like in public. Mm-hmm. Like how are we not on the Wikipedia for that game? If we're gonna get a Wikipedia on anything, like doing a 3 podcast treatment of that game is more than that company like ever deserved or like anyone would have thought they would have got.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, let's be fair, Gary, they got a sequel, so that outclasses our probably cumulative 8 hours that we dedicated to covering the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, and so it had to have sold all right.
Yeah,
which is like the actual reaction to it, that kind of, you know, the consensus is so negative.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, it's so lukewarm.
Yeah, it's yeah. Well, I mean, lukewarm. I mean, I guess it depends on, because there's the curve, the Souls fan curve, where people are just furious about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anywho, I'm very curious to listen to that episode too. Like, I don't listen to that show regularly, even though I like it. The episodes I've listened to are good, and I love Jeremy.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, not done with Souls, but like, I'm not thirsty for it either.
Right.
But the so that's Sarig.
Mm-hmm.
That's Lords of the Fallen. That's Nightmare Circus.
Yeah. Thank you for suggesting that, both Archive Lover and Sarig.
Thank you for throwing it up there. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely one of those weird oddities. Like, as a Sega kid, I feel like I have to represent. We'll get back to something a little less kind of like repugnant and insubstantial next time, I think.
At the very least, like, this has found Halloween Horror Nights, Jack the Clown, The Carnage Returns 2015 Orlando thing.
Yeah.
Like, I've just been having it run on. I'm on my third show from it, and there's 50 plus videos on this mix. Somebody is like, you know, like,
so somebody tour. Is furiously documenting this right now. There's a woman who is very much running kind of a Harley Quinn style steez, where she is just kind of enthralling and dominating a lot of the men who are around her.
Yeah. It is just, at the very least, it taught me about this, I guess, is my point. So if nothing else, Nightmare Circus has allowed me to learn about Jack the Clown.
Yeah, and it's given me an erection that I have to...
address.
Not address. I mean, that's a little bit crass. I just need to get to the bottom of why this might do that to me. So we'll...
Don't you think you'll think clearer if you're a little bit more relaxed, Cole?
You know, there were a lot of times during college where I thought, yeah, you know what, I would probably study better if I just kind of took care of this. But I didn't. I just fell asleep. So I don't think that this isn't gonna do me good if I go down this. I think that I can afford a couple more years of suppressing this before it turns into a tumor. A clown shaped tumor.
You just said, like, you're fucking like, man, the idea of just a boner, what the physiological effects of having a boner that long is grossing me out.
Yep. It's priapism, and it just, you know, goes gangrenous and falls off. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really unfortunate. We're just really leaning into stereotypes of ourselves, but it's been a long recording session. I've had a long day. Yeah. I will take care of it. Pretty much, but not for you. I'm offering, like,
okay,
you have my sword.
You're not.
How do you stop the cold from humping your leg? Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if I'm in that situation, right, I know you don't actually have a clown boner, but let's say for
clown boner, I would turn it into a crazy animal. I would turn it into a balloon animal. you gotta follow your dowsing rod, because who knows if you're gonna find water there, you know.
That's true. Yeah, gotta get that shit wet. The if I am distracted by something like that, like, I'll take care of it pretty much no matter what, because I don't like making decisions or being distracted by that kind of thing. So if I'm in that study situation, or like if I'm gonna be in a situation where I'm like, I, you know, kind of feeling this, but I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Like, I will medicinally jerk off, like, at a moment's notice. Like,
yeah. Well, I'll do it preemptively if I feel like it's a risk coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's been a few days and I have work to get done, you know, be like, okay, I'll wake up. Let's just go through this motion, and then I'll take a shower, and then we're going to be done. And let's get our day started. And the time it takes for my water to heat up, let's just take care of this before I make my coffee.
Yeah, if you got, like, you know, a few minutes to kill anyway, like, I like the way that you said that, if it's a risk, because it made it sound a little bit like you'll take care of it if you're going to play Risk soon.
Well, but we have to think clearly so I can get my dice rolls on point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to end up with, like, I actually don't know enough about Risk now. I haven't played that very long time.
I mean, I have to be clear-headed if I'm going to go after, Kamchatka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kamchatka.
Yay.
Anywho, this is Nightmare Circus, and thank you very much for suggesting it, Sarig, an Archive Lover.
Yep.
If you like the show, God, I fucking don't know why.
This has been a fun and punchy episode.
I'm just joking, because I think I set out not to lean into the cliche, because I've been joking about the cliche a lot, but then that cliche specifically is there for a reason.
Because it's fun.
And it's also one of those things where I don't since I don't live you know, back in my hometown with all like my super oldest friends.
Right.
You know, my newer friends in like game group and stuff in Portland. It's like, what up, guys? When do you take care of your masturbation so you don't have to be distracted? Yeah, what up, cucks? How often do you jerk off when you think that you might, you know, have a problem boner or what? Where are you going? Like, it would be weird polite company for like Ben and Courtney. You know, I have to have an outlet for this stuff, and this is right. kind of it.
Yeah.
So,
well, no, I'm not going to say I don't care about anybody who listens to the show, but nobody I care about listens to the show.
Yes. Right. Yeah, I understand that distinction.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, my mom's going to listen to this.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, thank goodness.
I mean, it's out there. It would just take them like they would just throw it a dartboard, pick any 45 minutes. Yeah, and then there is something horrible about their adorable toe headed little boy.
Yeah. Yeah, just some surreal foul stuff coming out of his mouth.
Yeah,
that's been a weird thing about dating too, is that like that side of me that's like just likes joking about that stuff has to be kind of suppressed,
right?
And then every once in a while I meet somebody, you know, I'll go on a date, and this is, you know, not recently, but like it's a real nice thing when you don't.
I mean, and have you ever had somebody like, who Googles you and hears this? Like, I don't date, so it's hard for me to know like what it's like to go out there and meet somebody with this amount of stuff just freely available to somebody who might be interested in what you're about.
Generally, they don't go deep on it because I think that the subject matter is not usually to their interests.
Right.
Like I have worse luck dating girls that are into video games than not. I don't think there's actually any specific correlation there that means anything. It just kind of, when I've kind of like used that as a search term or what have you, and gone on dates, like I click less with girls who I've met who are into games. I'm not saying that is a truth, like that means anything about people who are into games.
Right.
In my anecdotal evidence, though, I've clicked less.
Right.
So most of the time, if it's somebody who I have other things in common with, they'll look up who I am and they'll be like, oh, these are the shows. And then they don't listen to them.
That's kind of it. Gary, I haven't been listening to you for the past 20 seconds because I've just noticed on this video of the Horror Nights with Jack the Clown, they have what appears to be an audience member tied up to a carnival wheel.
Yeah, and they just put a boy in a blender. And he spun around until beautiful oblivion.
Like, right? No, no. They've got a woman on a carnival wheel. And two of the entries that I can see that are unobscured by a cameraman or a body are Dirtier Sanchez.
Yeah.
Or Michael Bublé.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty fucking funny.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's been going on in the background too. Whack Troll is one of them, which I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And then like Crass Saw. I don't
know. From my perspective, it just looks like Ass Law.
Oh. It's probably Ass Law, to be fair. I'm really glad that Obama didn't get a chance to enact Ass Law before he left.
No.
I read of a couple of Facebooks from freedomclick.eagle.
uncucksentinel.net.
uncucksentinel.
Yeah, that's an onion joke. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. patreon.com/WTV.
Yep. Buy premium episodes of the show if you want them at all at WTV/store.
Absolutely. And then ratings and reviews, telling your friends, those things are all very useful, and your support is useful.
Yep.
And if you like the show, hit us up on social media and be like, hey, I like this show.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear.
I'm super grateful that you listen. Like, this is a lot of fun to do. I'm watching a man in a blender. I'm like way down for it. Like, I may need to address this, but if you're around, thank you.
Yes. Until next time, boy, who is Bublé Dog? I don't know.